Daisy.
And I'm Terry.
And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 204. And this week it is Terry's turn to share something. Terry, what do you have?
Well, Daisy, based on my time constraints this week and getting something ready for us to talk about, I went back for another short episode. So, Jim Quick, here we come. Quick brain. But actually, I think it fits in really well. You've been talking recently in the last couple episodes about brain health and how it is really helped and improved through exercise. And this episode is similar, but it's not about physical exercise. It's about cognitive exercise and doing things to stimulate our brain growth cognitively outside of the exercise piece. So we're going to give people two tools to be really working on their brain health.
Cool. Builds on the whole neurobics idea as well.
That's right. That's right. So this episode was called Three Fun Activities for Lifelong Brain Health with Jim Quick.
Always good if it's fun too.
That's right. And it's one of those where he says three things and he actually covers three things. So this is great. So one of the things he talked about early in the episode is that, you know, our brain requires a lot of activity. And at one point he talked about if we want to strengthen our brain and maintain our brain, it's similar to our physical muscles. I know for a fact when I had my arm in a sling for 5 weeks, I lost a little bit of strength there. You can't not use something for long periods of time and expect that it stays as strong, and definitely can't build it up that way. Like, I wouldn't have expected that over 5 weeks I would have gained muscle. Actually, it just atrophies. So similar to the brain. So we know that we need to be doing active things with our brain. And he said that staying mentally engaged helps us maintain cognitive health, memory, problem-solving abilities, all of the things that we've been touching on lately. So really important. At least two of these three he ties to even things that you learn to do in childhood. And how cool that is, that things that we like to do in childhood are still really helpful for our brain development. And the first one is Legos. And talked about one of the reasons that Legos can be so helpful to our brain development is that our brain grows through novelty and nutrition. So you and I know each other through a whole focus on nutrition, but this is around the novelty part. And he does have a one-year-old at home right now. And so they've started playing with Legos, but you know, even in adulthood, and there are massive Lego sets that you can get nowadays that definitely are not for five-year-olds. They are for adults.
Well, you say that. I have expert nephews, expert Legoers, and I'm sure Eric in particular has been building Lego from at least five or less than five. You know what I mean? The other way around. I'm not sure, but yeah, big into Lego. So yeah, we know all about Lego.
Super cool.
And super inventive as well. I mean, yeah, those sets are really cool to build, but what's great is when you start making up your own things.
So think about it. You're already starting to touch on why, you know, the outcomes that we see with it. And actually, there's been a development, I don't remember how recently, but a therapist came up with Lego therapy and using this as a form of therapy to help children with autism, helping them learn turn-taking, sharing, communicating, doing this in a group. But Legos also can really help with our focus, our spatial awareness, developing patience, communication, like you said, the creativity, learning to not only see what's there, but create what could be there and envision the plan and how you're going to make this plan happen. Helps us with our executive function, some of the executive function processes like attention, self-regulation. So again, you can hear why these are so important for kids as they're developing and in this type of therapy with kids with autism, but also with adults. These are still important things as we age. If doing it in a group, doing it with someone, it helps with social interaction, again, planning, flexible thinking, and building structures can help us with our visual spatial intelligence, which is one form of, you know, many different types of intelligences. And spatial awareness can be so important even into our older age because we tend to kind of lose that spatial awareness if we're not using it actively. And, you know, thinking about walking, balancing, reaching up and getting things, doing things where you need to be aware of spatial, your spatial location in your setting, but also being aware of things around you is really important. So this is, like I said, even really important as we're aging, not just in young developing minds. Also helps with learning things and doing things. This example is maybe a little bit more for the kids, but following instructions, looking at the plan and, you know, making sense of how am I going to take what's on the instructions and make that happen? How will I implement this? Flexible thinking to see how things fit together, which is a great skill for us throughout our lifespan. So the first activity that he talked about for helping our brain is Legos. So those of you who are out there shopping for your next Lego set, good on you because it's going to help your brain. Not to mention for some of us, it's a good stress reliever, which also helps our brain. Number two, I felt like the ding, 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 you know, I win a prize when I listened to this one because it was all about
jigsaws.
Yes. Jigsaw puzzles. Now, currently, my jigsaw puzzle life is a little limited in that I do them only online. But now we recently purchased a very large dining room table. So I'm going to start getting some jigsaw puzzles with actual pieces. So Jim Quick was gifted a jigsaw puzzle that, if anyone has not heard us tell his background or haven't listened to him, he basically was unable to read as a kid. He had a traumatic injury and really struggled in school, and many of the teachers thought he wasn't going to make it, and he had to learn to read, and, you know, and now he's a wizard with memory and things. But he liked superheroes. And one of his favorite is Spider-Man. And we all probably know the quote in there that with great power comes great responsibility. So someone gifted him a jigsaw puzzle that said this. And then he was talking with one of the people who wrote a lot of comics and was talking to him about it. And Jim Quick said, you know, the opposite is also true. With great responsibility comes great power. And he tied this in here by talking about when we take responsibility for things, we gain power, and the power is that we can change things. So we can, if we take responsibility for our brain, we can help it, we can grow it, we can develop it. So we gain power to change things by taking this responsibility, and therefore we really need to actively be exercising our mind so that we can maintain and build it. Obviously, this is an important message throughout his whole episode. He talked about puzzles, jigsaw puzzles, as being a protective factor to cognitive aging. Sign me up. I'm so glad that I like jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah, it's great when they talk about something that you already like doing.
Yeah. I don't even have to stretch myself to make this one happen. I will certainly devote more time to jigsaw puzzles. As we age, stimulating the mind is especially crucial. And what kinds of things especially happens while we're doing jigsaw puzzles? One of the cool things is that it stimulates both sides of the brain. So left brain and right brain. So it's not just, you know, kind of developing one part. It's really developing both and the connections between. And brain connections are really important to be activating and building. It relaxes our mind. Almost can get into a state like meditation, which I loved hearing because I struggle with doing meditation, but I love doing jigsaw puzzles, so can do that. It reinforces, as I said, connections between brain cells, which is really important. It can improve our mental speed and help develop our short-term memory. It works on pattern recognition, mental rotation. You know, you have to turn the things around and, mm-hmm. and imagine how they're going to go in there, a little bit like the Legos. Cognitive speed, visual scanning, you know, you have to look at all of those pieces and pick the one and see where it's going to fit. So a lot of planning and predicting and perceptual reasoning. So all of these important brain skills that we're working on just by doing a puzzle. And then again, as with the Legos, social intelligence is something we can be working on if we're doing this with other people. I had a good chuckle when I heard that part, because one of the favorite things I used to do when I would visit my mom is we would do jigsaw puzzles. I think that's where I got my love of jigsaw puzzles. And I remember doing them as a kid. We would have them out on our kitchen or dining room table. We had a huge dining room table and we would have them in there. I remember one time a couple pieces got lost and we couldn't find them. We couldn't finish the puzzle and we were so frustrated, and we later found them in the kitty litter box. But I had to laugh, because in my adult life, when I would go visit my mom and we would do puzzles together, it wasn't exactly what I would call enhancing of social intelligence. It was a lot of swearing, a lot of complaining, like, did you take my piece? How come I can't find this? I bet you're holding it. Like, it was not good for building social intelligence, but it was a lot of fun.
Yes, I must admit, I can imagine sort of slapping someone's hand if they're not doing it right. It's funny, it makes me think of one, and I can't remember which one it was. I listened to so many, but a series of detective novels where the detective, he's either a police detective or might be a PI, I can't remember. But he has Asperger's, and they go to see somebody or other, a suspect or something like that, something to do with the case, and the guy is doing a jigsaw puzzle and is really struggling with it, and he takes one look at it and he says, well, you know, your problem is you haven't got the pieces sorted, you haven't sorted out the edge pieces from, and then color sorted it and done this. I'm very much like that when I do the jigsaws on the screen, I sort them into piece shape, mm-hmm. you know, do the outside first, and then I sort, so all the ones that are, you know, have four outer bits, all the ones that have four inner bits, I group them mm-hmm. all together first. That's what I do first before I do anything else, and then it makes the doing of the puzzle easier. So I suspect a lot of people have a very particular method.
That's right.
So I can see it potentially could be a good sociable thing, but only if you did it the same way.
Well, actually, it does help social interaction skill building, because you might have to bite your tongue a few times and say, it's okay that you're not doing all the red pieces first. And by the way, I too have strategies like you talked about, until I got this one puzzle. I can't even think of what it was. I think it was round, first of all. And there was no regular pattern to how the pieces were cut.
Wow.
So there would be some that were just really fine little wedge pieces that squeezed in between other pieces. There weren't just the little like ball and socket kind of pieces. It was so complicated, because you almost could not use the shape as a way to figure out what you were looking for. It was really complicated. I'm sure I swore a lot during that one.
That's probably a very good neurobic exercise, because you're approaching something that's actually quite typical for you in a completely different way.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, remember we did an episode on the power of swearing. So I get a lot of
bring them all together.
Now, if I could just do my jigsaw puzzle standing on one foot, I think I would have this whole life thing licked. Very good. Very good. And then the third one is crossword puzzles. And this kind of made me smile, because my mom was a very avid crossword puzzle person. Like, she would sit at the kitchen table for hours every night doing crossword puzzles. And I always struggled a little more with those. I like the other ones. I like word searches and Sudoku and things.
Code words.
And I can't even think of the other ones I like, where you have to figure out, you know, John has three friends and each friend bought three things on different days, and you have to kind of figure out the logic puzzles. Yes, thank you. But my mom did crossword puzzles so often, and I struggled with them because they were just talking about things I wasn't familiar with. And it was so frustrating for me.
Same.
So I was always looking at the back of the book for the answers. And she was doing the New York Times crossword puzzle, and she just had so much knowledge of weird things in the world from doing crossword puzzles. But when he started talking about crossword puzzles as a strategy, he brought up a study at Columbia University that found that 1 in 10 of older adults age 65 or older have memory decline, and 22% of those remaining have mild cognitive decline. So again, this sense of this is crucial for all of us. So the exercise pieces that you talked about and these mind exercises that we're talking about today, super important. He talked about the fact that, really our mind is kind of central to our identity. It's about how we think. And so sometimes when you start to notice, friends or family or things who are declining, you start to notice they are different. Their personality is different because their thinking is changing. Their ability to access certain cognitive skills is declining. So this is what we really want to be working to kind of prevent and push out further into the future. When talking about crossword puzzles, he said, first of all, they're cognitively stimulating, like all these things. They make us do lots of different things. They make us use memory because we have to go back and think, do I know this fact? Have I ever seen this in a puzzle before? So we're accessing memory. It tests our memory. It forces us to use our memory. It's also kind of difficult. As I just mentioned, I got frustrated with them because they were hard, kind of like things that were a little bit easier. But this difficulty is actually helpful because moderately difficult cognitive tasks help us even more in our cognitive performance. They help us to develop that even more. So good thing those are challenging. Again, similar to the puzzles, it engages multiple brain regions. So large areas of our cortex will be stimulated, and then there are connections required between those to come up with the answers and to fill it in and everything. So you have to read the clue and then think about the response and make sure it fits. So a lot of crossing of the different parts of our brain. And also it activates the hippocampus, which you talked about with memory. So super important. And again, can be a social thing. I would sometimes do these with my mom. She would read the clue to me and then I would try to figure out an answer. Or if I couldn't figure out an answer, I would read it to her. I'd read the clue and then say the first letter is N and it ends in a TS, So again, emotional and social learning. So really all three of these are ways to help delay our cognitive decline. And I know you and I have been talking recently about taking action on the things that we've been talking about and kind of how we've been trying to challenge ourselves to take action on these things. So I'm going to get my crossword puzzle books back out because I love doing crossword puzzles. Now they're a fond memory thing for me because they remind me so much of my mom. Jigsaw puzzles for sure. I'm actually going to get some physical jigsaw puzzles now. Very excited about that. And I might even get some Legos. That is not usually my cup of tea, but what the heck, I might as well work on the brain in another new way. So there you have it, a nice little summary of some good things for us to do for our brain.
Great. Yeah, I used to quite enjoy playing Lego when I was younger. They didn't have as exciting things as they do now. But yeah, like I say, one of my nephews in particular, but him and his brother both play with them. But yeah, one of them in particular, he's a real Lego master. And it was interesting what you were saying about spatial awareness and how that declines with aging. And it made me think of one of the big things that's also mentioned with aging, and it's an episode that we did, and you've also mentioned about standing on one leg, is that must involve and have an impact on balance. And that's one of the big predictors, isn't it, of longevity and health into old age. Because of course, if your balance goes, then you have falls. And that's one of the biggest reasons why people end up in hospital as they get older and then, you know, potentially have problems when they get in there and blah, blah, blah. It can really indicate decline, mm-hmm. having balance. Balance and grip strength are two important things, aren't they? I was kind of hoping, I was wondering if colouring might be mentioned when you were talking about doing your crosswords online. The thing that I'm most addicted to is my colouring app. But I suppose it isn't as cognitively challenging. It probably helps with a, as far as you mentioned, a sort of meditation type element. Definitely go into a bit of a zone. And it can't be super, super challenging because I can listen to and be paying attention to an audiobook at the same time. And yes, the two are often combined, but I quite like it. It's a painting by numbers. And so you have a picture and, you know, each number has a color. And as you fill those in, the picture comes alive with color. But there is an element of choice to it where you don't necessarily just follow the number sequence mm-hmm. that you're given, because after you finished it, it animates it. So it colors it in for you at speed. And so, you know, you can make choices with how you color that in. So, for example, I usually do the background stuff first and then the people mm-hmm. at the front, or, you know, I'll leave the colorful butterfly till last or something, you know, so you're kind of thinking about it mm-hmm. as you go and planning what that playback is going to look like. So, yeah, some of these apps and games and what have you are sort of good for your brain as well. That's a great excuse, isn't it?
Absolutely. I can spend hours doing these things and now feel fully justified in doing so.
I'm working on my brain health. I'm strengthening my brain. It's a good thing.
I can't be expected to go to work right now. The other thing that you have, I think, talked before is proprioception. And that is our body's ability to sense movement, action, and location.
Oh, cool. That is a new word to me.
I thought you had mentioned that one before. But, you know, it's going back to that thing about as we age, you know, one of the ways that people wind up in trouble is falling. And part of it is that our body loses that perception, it, you know, not only the balance piece, but even perceiving where things are. And, you know, we're more likely to trip on things. We're more likely to fall going up and down stairs because we just don't have as good of a perception of the movement and things. And so again, working on our spatial awareness through these other activities can help with that, our ability to even perceive our spatial location in our environment. So that can be really important. And talking about spatial awareness, I'm reflecting on a lot of things in this episode. It made me chuckle a little bit too, because in high school, we had to take a test. I think maybe it was our junior year in high school. We had to take a test that gave you some thoughts about what you might like to do as your career. Now, unfortunately, it was a military, it was called the ASVAB, which was put together by like the US military or something. It was checking out what skills you had. And I scored the highest in the spatial, visual spatial awareness. And so the career that it suggested I look into was airplane mechanics. So it suggested that I be an airplane mechanic. And I didn't ever get close to that as a career pursuit. But it is something that now I'm glad that I've had that strength and I want to keep working on it. I want to keep this spatial awareness really strong, because I really do think for so many of us, that is a form of aging. A loss of that ability can be really pretty detrimental.
Yeah, very interesting. I am encouraged to get back into Lego, play with Lego more with my nephew when I see him next.
Nice.
He's very sociable with his Lego. He loves for you to go and play. Yeah, my sister ended up getting one of these massive, like it's a mat, and then it has a drawstring around the edge. So you lay all the Lego out, and then you can just scoop it, pull the drawstring, and it's just a massive, great big bag. He actually had me one time sorting his Lego out into various drawers of, you know, these pieces and those pieces. And it's a waste of time because they end up just, yeah, all over this mat. But I thought that was a brilliant idea. Just scoop it all up and keep it in a bag, and then you can just open it up again. But he loves other people getting involved.
That's so cool. I love that bag idea too, because you know those Legos really hurt when you step on them. So yeah. This might help prevent some of that. Very good. Very good.
They really do.
Yeah. So definitely, like I said, I think this was one of those episodes that for me was super affirming to hear, because two of the three things I, you know, have really actively done even, you know, within the past few years. So I'm excited about picking those up even more so. Not so sure about the Legos, but I think I might need to get a set and start working on some of that.
Definitely. Well, just before we go, I've just spotted something that I want to ask you about. Is that your Peloton machine, and has it moved?
It is.
Does that mean you've been using it?
It does not mean that. It means that we have...
I thought, she's put it next to the window. She's been working out of it.
She's riding and looking...
I know she mentioned that in an episode.
She's riding and looking at the mountains. No.
Nope.
What it really indicates is that in the past 2 months, we've had a lot of guests in our home. And it used to be in the guest room, and it kind of blocks some area in there. So we took it out of that and had it off camera in here, but in a very unusable way. And then I had company come that needed to use both guest rooms. So we had to use the Murphy bed in here and move the Peloton. So now it's visible. Maybe that will serve as more of a reminder to me, or not.
There you go. My powers of observation. I did notice.
Yeah. If only it didn't make noise, I would just record an episode while I'm on it, Daisy.
Great excuse.
But as we know, I have lots of noise issues in my home when I'm trying to record. Dog sounds, the heat running. This microphone picks up everything. I just have to laugh because every time you'll say, there was this sound, it sounded like an airplane, and I have to go through the house and try and figure out what could this sound be. Now, just so that you all know, if you listen to our podcast, both of us have to make some accommodations. I turn off my heat now. So by the time I'm done recording, it's freezing cold in the house. And I'm just imagining when we get to the point of using air conditioning, I will be sweating bullets while recording because I won't be able to have the air conditioning on just for the sound quality that you're all listening to.
Yeah, I'm quite good at guessing sounds. There used to be this competition on the radio where they would play a mystery sound and you had to phone in. You had to guess what it was and phone in.
That's great. That's great.
So yes, I'm always trying to identify what's going on.
Good.
Okay. Well, it's that time. I hope you have a very wonderful week, and I'll see you next time.
Take good care, everybody. Bye, Daisy.